Yo, yo. Check, 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 check. Check it out. It's your boy, Bobby Buckets. Bobby Ballbuster. Bobby Benghazi. Bobby Mick, the Dirty Detective. B Mick, the Click Picker. AKA Dr. Double Ox. Dr. Double Ox. What's up? It's Bobby Mickey. Here on March 11th, 2018. What's good? It's a beautiful day today. I'm trying to get this recording in. Maybe go outside and take a walk. Check out the duck pond or something. Nothing too crazy. But very happy to bring you another rendition of this A Good Ass Pod, which is an affiliate of This A Good Ass Game, which is also an affiliate of Full Sass Productions. Speaking of Full Sass, give a shout out to Full Sass Trivia. My man Craig Stein holding it down with the trivia questions. I've been seeing the spreadsheets and they're lovely. If you're in Austin, you listen to this recording, you should definitely go down to the Kolache spot over in East Austin called Batch. Go peep it. While I'm at it, shout out to my Overheel boys. I ain't gonna give the names out on the air, but shout outs to them. They know who they are. Overhale Crew, formerly the NYA Boys. Big major shout outs to Armadillo Canning. Big major shout outs to KDVS, K Davis Radio, for letting your boy get on the mic and do some stuffs. And while I'm at it, a shout out to KJHK for being one of the best college run radio stations I've heard since I went to school. And back then it was KNTU in Denton. And they used to come live with it, 88.1. And shout out to the boy, Edward Austin Robertson. I see you moving the units, man. Respect. If y'all have gotten a chance to check out Edward Austin Robertson's poetry book, Poems About Lawrence, he really appreciates you. He says, if you're free, if you got a minute, just go to Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble's where you bought it. Make sure you rate it. Give it the 1, 2, 3, 4 stars. Give a little blurb about it. If you liked it, if you loved it. If you hated it, rate it. If you hate it, you must rate it. That's about it for the shout-outs. Shout-outs to Nick Collison last night for being the one bright moment from the Spurs-Thunder game, as the Spurs drop another one. And of the last 13 games, they've only won 5 of them. This is as bad as I've seen the Spurs in a long time. And it's not even their fault. They're just undermanned. Role players can only get you so far. And that's kind of what it is. It's just they don't have any superstars. LaMarcus is an all-star. He's no superstar. Pau Gasol, again, all-star, not a superstar. But if you put them with the right people, it's all good. It's all good, but they really miss Kawhi, and playoffs start in less than a month. Is he going to be ready? Is he going to be in game shape? How's his condition, and how's his wind? You know, I don't know. This is the first time the Spurs have had a losing record on the road since the year before they got Timmy. And depending on how Kawhi looks, it's entirely possible that he could miss the playoffs this year, which sounds crazy to think about, but it's a true reality. Right now they're sitting at the fifth spot as of yesterday, and that's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not tenuous, precarious. So you had Portland at the number three slot, and I think as early as Tuesday, as recently as Tuesday, when I last time I checked, there's only four games separating the three and the tenth spot. So that shows you how competitive the West is right now. So something to think about. I don't think it's time to panic for Spurs fans, but there's some concerns. They look really tired, and they're competing. They just don't have that extra gear anymore. I think everybody's just tired and beat up, and some guys are washed. Some guys haven't improved as much as they thought they would. You know, some people would call this a slow decline, but I wouldn't even say it's that. It's just when you build through the draft, guys get old. So the people they built through the draft, you think about all the players they got, David Robinson, Sean Elliott, Timmy, Manu, Tony Parker. Those are all drafts. And they just kind of get complimentary role players who are good, and they come in. LaMarcus Aldridge is probably the biggest name free agent they've ever signed. So keep that in mind. Like, people just don't come down to San Antonio. You have to be a certain kind of player. So it'll be interesting going forward. I'm not really ready to hang the season up yet, but there definitely is a chasm between the top two teams in the West and everyone else. Houston just had their 17 win streak, game winning streak snapped up in the TO. And as much as I hate to give them props, they seem pretty legit. Of course, you never know what happens until the playoffs come, because James Harden has spit the bit twice, once in the NBA Finals, and then, of course, last year he just ran out of gas. And basically, you've got two perennial, dare I say, chokers on the same team, and things are supposed to change. You know, we'll see. Maybe they can do trust falls and hold each other's hands through the process. I don't know. We'll see. And D'Antoni's teams aren't known for finishing the job, shall we say. I'm not going to say D'Antoni's a choker, but D'Antoni's teams are always the teams that they come close. So we'll see about that. But if the season ended today, we'd have first round matchups out east. Toronto versus Milwaukee, Boston versus Miami, Cleveland versus Philly, Indiana versus Washington. And I think you could easily see Milwaukee beat T.O. in the first round, because they got the best player in the series, Giannis. And then I think Boston would beat Miami, but that'd be a competitive one. I could see that going seven. Or if the Heat would bust out those Miami Vice jerseys. They're tacky, but I kind of like them, I gotta admit. what is it, Vice City or something? What is it saying? I don't even know. But it's so tacky and it's so typical Miami that it makes me embrace it, you know. Only Miami could get away with that. Cleveland and Philly would be a fun, entertaining series. I think Cleveland would win that in 6 games or less. But that would be an entertaining one. Philly looks like they're kind of on the cusp. Kind of remind me of the old Washington Bullets back in the day when they had Sheed, C-Webb, Juwan Howard, and Calbert Chaney. I don't know if anybody remembers that team. They were borderline fun to watch. I think they had Britt Price on that team, Mark Price's brother. We couldn't get the real thing, but we got his brother, you know. But they got beat by Jordan in the first round, if I remember correctly. But yeah, Philly could be fun. It would be fun to watch Embiid in the playoffs. He might be showing the strains of an 82-game season as long as he's played. And I don't know, he's a big man. I think every game we get to see with him is going to be kind of a blessing. Indianapolis versus the Wizards, formerly known as the Bullets. I would say I can see the Pacers pulling off an upset in that one. Don't sleep. Don't sleep on Indianapolis. Don't sleep on that town. Ooh. Even my body some kind of subconsciously knew I was about to say nap time because I just yawned. But that would be the first round, I think. I think you'd see at a T.O. versus Milwaukee, you'd see Toronto advance. No. See, I'm already fucking my stuff up. You'd see Milwaukee advancing, Boston advancing, Cleveland, and then I'd say Indianapolis, which would make a really good semifinals in the East. Which, that could prove to be entertaining. Out West, as it stands today, you got the Clippers making the playoffs and matched up in the first round with Houston, which I think we kind of want to see because there's some heat there. There's some tension. Some folks don't like Dot. Some folks don't like Austin Rivers. In fact, I say most folks don't like Austin Rivers. He's on the I'd punch him on sight if there were no consequences list. Don't like Austin Rivers. Part of it is because he went to Duke, but the other part of it is because, well, there's no need to explain. Preaching to the choir, aren't I? Golden State at Oklahoma City. Also, another first-round matchup people would love to see. I don't know if Oklahoma City could actually beat Golden State in a 7-game series, but they can make it close. And it would be a physical series. It'd be an intense one, no matter how many games it went. Even if Golden State somehow swept Oklahoma City, I can guarantee you each of those games would be pretty intense and possibly draining. My theory is that whoever catches OKC in the playoffs before the final round of the conference prelims is going to be the team that doesn't make the NBA Finals. So if somehow Golden State plays Oklahoma City the first or second round, I think they might not have enough in the tank to make it to the finals. Conversely, if Houston plays Oklahoma City in the first or second round, I think that could be the difference. Like, they might be so beat up by the time they get to Golden State, they might not have the juice left. Oklahoma City, strangely enough, might be the key to who wins the NBA Finals. You heard it here first. Moving along to Portland, Minnesota. If this matchup were to happen, And there's no guarantee Minnesota is going to make the playoffs. Jimmy Butler's still out. Might have hurt himself trying to slide up in Lolo Jones' DMs. But I ain't trying to get messy. There's no telling if Minnesota's going to slide. So you got Los Angeles. And you got the Clippers, not the Lakers. You got Los Angeles. You got Utah. You got the Pelicans. You got Denver. And those four teams are kind of orbiting that eighth playoff spot. And right now, Utah and Denver, kind of the spectators right now. They're in line at the club trying to get in, trying to pop bottles, trying to holler at models, trying to get up in the VIP section. So I think it's it'll be interesting in the last couple weeks to see what happens, because Utah, who plays critical game today against New Orleans, Utah could just as easily slip in as could Denver. And Denver has 36 wins, I think. But I think because of one loss, or because of one extra loss or something, they are in the ninth spot. It might be percentage points. But that's the key. So it's too early to get hung up on standings. I know Portland fans are really excited about the way they've been playing ball. And they should be. They're better than I thought they were. It seems like the role players are embracing their roles. Everybody's just doing their jobs. And that's going to get them to a certain point. So I don't think they'll underachieve. I think getting to the Western Conference Finals would be considered overachieving. Them losing in the second round is kind of what we expect. So Dame was saying they're the real deal, but if getting knocked out in the second round is the real deal, then there are at least four teams that can say they're the real deal. Possibly more. But if it's all about just making the playoffs, that's good. That's a success for Trailblazers fans. Those guys have gotten better, but it's still kind of, they're still looking like Toronto Raptors West. They got two major scorers, and then they kind of help their role players chip in when they can. Nurkic still hasn't really set himself up as an all-star, but he might be on the cusp, I don't know. I think it's just a matter of consistency. He can put up a double-double, but you know, if you're putting up 10 and 11 and Lillard and McCollum combine for, say they both go off for 30 points apiece. That's 60. If Nurkic gets in 10-11, it's only 70 points. So then you need 30 points just from the other role players, which is only, what, 100? And it's not many teams in this league that you can beat just by scoring 100 points. They got 120 against Golden State on Friday. But Golden State was missing Steph. And they're on the road. They didn't look that great. And KD was basically doing all the scoring for them. So much as people want to write off the Warriors because of their slump, getting gassed up on Portland's ascension, getting gassed up on Houston's ascension, who've, by the way, Houston's gone on two double-digit win streaks for the season. That's going to be important. But it's also just a regular season. We'll see if they can get some points. Because if they're just going to be shooting jump shots, then fine. But I don't know. Personally, kind of off the side, I, at this point, I think the three-point is gimmicky. I just want to see basketball. So I would like to see them just go back into the two-pointers. So just score twos. That's it. If you want to hit three-pointers, you can go for it, but what's the point? Shoot them joints. But it's just become gimmicky. Because now all Houston wants to do is shoot three-pointers. And they're like, oh, we're just going to play. It's like they're trying to do math or something. They're trying to, we're going to play this math game. We're just going to shoot threes. You're going to shoot twos, and then we're going to win. But is that basketball or is that math? I don't know. The nerds have taken over. Let's take that to three. Or if anything, just bring it back to twos and ones. Let's go back to that. I know, what does it matter what the points are, really? If it's just the game, it's just a point of who's winning, who's losing. Let's go two for ones and see what happens. I'm just not impressed with three-pointers at all anymore. I think it's gimmicky. I know that makes me sound old and washed, but I don't want to see jump shooters. That's not basketball to me. It's only part of basketball, but that's all I'm going to see are just people shooting. You see the 3-1-1 now. Like, instead of going to the rim, you got the one guy handling the ball, and the two guys just go to the wings. They find spots in the three-pointers. That's kind of cool, but also it's kind of nice to see them just throw the hoop. So, I don't know. You know, these kind of these trends, they change. So, defensive adjusts. So, I don't think there needs to be any rule changes, but it will be funny to look back on things like, man, Rowan, everybody was shooting three-pointers. That was a thing, right? So that was a huge off-topic tangent. I'm doing terribly, I feel like. I recorded something last night. It was 38 minutes of hot fire. And there were at least 6 to 9 minutes worth of stuff that could get me sued for libel or slander. Or get me divorced. So, after thinking about it, I realized I probably shouldn't run it. But maybe one day. I don't think it was good for public consumption. And I don't know how to bossa nova. I barely know how to edit. I don't even know how to really change pitch on the voices. So, I thought it was best just to re-record this morning. But I haven't had my coffee yet. I'm still feeling a little sluggish from the big breakfast I had. So thank you for bearing with me. As far as the last possible playoff spots, we got New Orleans versus I guess it would be they would be playing San Antonio. So, which I would feel good if our for Spurs fans. I would say they should feel good about this matchup because Pelicans Spurs is a winnable series and not too taxing. Gentry has his team playing the right way, but they're a bunch of role players with Davis and Drew Holiday's borderline all-star, but they've overachieved and we'll see what happens. Davis is already kind of dinged up. So they might not even make the playoffs, which is kind of a shame because Davis and Boogie would have been fun to watch in the playoffs. So, but enough with the hypotheticals. Let's talk about this week's slate of games. It's going to be kind of slim pickings right now because I guess with the NCAAs, end of the year, the games aren't that great. So we'll run it down. Tuesday, got Indiana at Philly, which is kind of like meh. But that's the best game you're going to see on Tuesday. There's no good-ass games on Monday. Wednesday, got Washington at Boston. Another one, if you really want to watch it, that's cool. But that's the best you're going to get. Thursday is going to be the real pick the click, though. The click to pick. And that's Cleveland and Portland. basically, you basically have Portland kind of surging right now. The Rose Garden's going to be rocking. I know a couple people who'll be at that game. I think that'll be the best game of the week, honestly. And see what's going on. Cleveland had a couple of injuries. Rodney Hood. That Orsman kid. Is it Orsman? Osterman? They had a guy playing power forward who was actually playing pretty decently. He hurt himself. I'm going to have to look up his name so I can be accurate. So I can be clear and concise and everything nice. Kyle Usman? I think Kyle... something. Kyle... what was his name? Play for the Cavs. Kyle? Cal? Cool. I'm going to have to look this up now. This is bothering me. But, yeah, as I was saying, the Cavs are having a couple injuries. Rodney Hood is a huge one. I think he hurt his groin. And that could be a problem. I've had a groin. He said he heard it pop. I've definitely had my share of groin injuries, and when you hear something pop, that ain't good. So they got him, I think he's supposed to be out day to day. Oh, okay. His name is not Kyle, it's CeeDee. CeeDee Osman. Way to improve that street cred, Bob. Yeah, CeeDee Osman, who makes $2.6 million a year. Wow. Where's this kid from? I don't know anything about this kid. Shows you how much I keep up with. Oh, he's drafted out of Minnesota, second round, 2015. Yeah, he's out for the next 2 weeks with a groin injury. And then Rodney Hood, Mr. Duke Basketball, hurt his back, so he won't be playing, but we'll see what's good with him. Moving on. So that'll be Thursday. That's the best game of the week. Friday, you got Clippers in Oklahoma City. Saturday, Houston at New Orleans, which is one of those huge what-if games, because if Boogie was playing, that would definitely be must-see TV. Sunday is Portland at the Clippers, Houston at Minnesota, and Oklahoma City at Toronto. So, that's kind of it for the week. Sunday, you got the best slate of games as far as just like quantity, with Portland at Clippers, Houston at Minnesota, Oklahoma City at Toronto. But Thursday's the game. If you can only watch one game this week, and I can only watch one game this week, it's going to be Cleveland at Portland. So keep your eyes on that. Also, we got March Madness this week, so I guess the selection committee will pick their games today, pick the brackets. I'm actually going to fill out a bracket this year, I think, just for the funsies. But, man, UVA, I didn't realize they'd only lost two games this year, and they only lost one conference game. Watched them for the first time against North Carolina, and they are really good. They play great team defense. I liked, there's this kid, Kyle Guy. His name really is Kyle. Kyle Guy looked like a baller. He put up 16 points and 15 shots, but man, the ones he did make, he made some moves. I was really impressed with him. He looked like the kind of guy who would just kill it at the 24-hour fitness. Just destroy. He was unstoppable. UNC did not get any bench help. They only had 3 points off the bench, which can be a killer. But their guys, Pinson and May and Joel Berry, were kind of carrying the weight. Kenny Williams. They didn't get any points from Cam Johnson, who he hurt himself, and he's going to need that rest. So I think that was huge because he only got 4 points. They lost by 8. So I imagine if he'd have played a better game, they probably would have won the conference tournament. It's a good thing you don't have to win the conference tournament anymore to get into the NCAAs. But we'll see. I'm curious what the bracket's going to look like. I probably want to watch too many games, especially the first couple rounds. Might be a Sweet 16 matchup I might check out. But other than Carolina, Kansas, who, surprise, surprise, won the Big 12 outright, the tournament and the season. Kansas, I'll definitely watch. I'll watch the Shockers, see what's up with them. Arizona, they got that kid DeAndre Ayton. He'll be fun to watch. Bagley, who people are high on. I think Ayton might be a better prospect. Bagley doesn't really play defense. He might be Jahlil Okafor 2.0, but with a three-point shot. I think Coach K just stopped coaching defense because he's had some pretty pathetic teams lately. And, you know, Duke, North Carolina doesn't have the star power it used to have back in the 90s. Still entertaining, but I'm really happy I didn't pay all that money to go to a Duke, North Carolina game last year because there's no Rasheed Stackhouse versus Capel and Cherokee Parks. You know, it didn't have that star power anymore. And God bless Roy. I love Roy Williams. Huge fan of his. But he just doesn't get those guys, those NBA studs, like Coach Smith used to. So, got these guys who end up being really good in college. Theo Pinson is a guy who I love watch playing. He kind of reminds me, not quite as flashy, not quite as athletic. Julian Wright. He's like a poor man's Julian Wright. But Theo Pinson plays very well, shares the ball, does a lot of things besides score. Really good team player. And he's not even the best player on the team, really. But he kind of is, but he's not even the best NBA prospect on the team. That might be this freshman kid, Brooks, that they have sitting on the bench. He might be the best NBA player, but as I said before, Danny Green. Out of all the players he had at North Carolina, Danny Green's the best NBA player he put out. And then maybe John Henson, Tyler Zeller's still in the league, but it doesn't quite have the star power as it used to be, but they're still fun, they're still intense. I enjoyed watching the game on Friday, and that was fun. And there's still something about Duke North Carolina games gets the blood going, get the juices going. So maybe one day they'll figure out how to pay these guys. But that's all I got. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to go down to Batch if you're down in Austin. South by Southwest starting today, I think. I'm sure that's going to be a fun couple weeks, so enjoy that on my Austinites. Like I said, thanks for picking up that book, Poems About Lawrence. Like I said, I really enjoyed reading it. And if you liked it, please rate it. My man would really appreciate that. I'm officially his spokesperson. So, for those of you who already got it, my man EAR says thank you and appreciate the love. And thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for checking out This is a Good Ass Game. If you have any questions you want me to answer for next week's pod, for next couple issues, next couple posts, you know, NCAA questions, NBA questions, high school basketball questions, get my opinion on anything, or if you just want to tell me this is a good ass pod, you can email me at thisagoodassgame@gmail.com. All right. Well, have a great week. Enjoy the weather, the good vibes, the musics, and keep living. Peace.